Welcome to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, October 22, 2017, by Eric Travis, Missioner for Youth and Young Adults for the Diocese of Michigan.
Please be seated. This is not for you to stand during this time. As Father Eric said, my name is Eric Travis, and I am the Missioner for Youth and Young Adults. I really love that title. It's a reminder to me that my work does not take place only at 4800 Woodward Avenue, Detroit. You want to know the zip? I've got that memorized too. 48201, he remembers. But it is designed to be sent out. So today's time, I'm not going to call it a sermon, but our church time here is going to be a little unusual. It's actually going to be interactive. So there will be times in which I will ask for your help, your response, your questions. So I'm just prepping you ahead of time. But I'm going to start off this time with some FAQs. Do you all know what FAQs are? If I had asked that 10 years ago, none of you would have known that. It's amazing how things have changed. So I do have some frequently asked questions that are given to me. First of all, what is diocesan youth ministry? Well, the diocese is the organization that has congregations underneath it. There's usually a bishop, usually a good bishop, we hope, that is in charge of that diocese. It is similar to the way a governor is over a state, and you have mayors and city councils that are over a town or a township or a city. So the congregation, you have a priest and a vestry, and then you have sort of this next level of not control, but this next level of administration and opportunities at the next level. So in the state of Michigan, I learned this 8 years ago when I moved here, ta-da, my map of Michigan, there are four dioceses in the whole state. So you have the Upper Peninsula, it's just hard to do this and it'll look awkward, so we'll take that away. But the lower part, there are three dioceses. If you cut it in half, you have Western Michigan, you cut it here below the thumb, up here is Eastern Michigan, and you have Michigan. We started first, it was the whole state, and as population grew, they broke off. So that's why we've kept the name in this area as a diocese in Michigan. We are actually southeast of Michigan, that part of it. Go from Detroit up to Lansing. We come about as far as, let's say Rochester Hills, Romeo, about as far north as this in this county. There are 72 congregations and two college chaplaincies in the diocese. I will give a prize to how many of you can guess, closest number, how many of those churches I have slept in. You can't answer, you already know. Oh, no one has it. 28. I have slept in 28 of those churches doing youth events. And so if you want to come along and see churches, it's a great way to get to know a church. But what the diocesan youth ministry is an opportunity for us to share with our youth and our young adults, because that's what YAYA stands for, opportunities, and this is our mission statement, to experience and share God's love through formation, fellowship, worship, and service. So we provide opportunities, we provide programs, we provide places that young people can come together to experience God, to share God's love, and to do it in ways of fellowship, formation, worship, and service. Second question, maybe I already answered, what ages do you serve? So our YAYA ministries are middle school and high school, and then young adult. Young adult seems to grow every year I get older. I think it's a little bit higher and higher, but it is roughly to the 30s. So up through your 20s, and we offer different programs and try to help with that. But I want to focus today on talking to you about our youth ministry. What programs do you offer? I'm going to hit a couple of them, but we offer a number of programs throughout the year. We offer things that are just for middle school, we offer some things that are just for high school, and we offer things that are combined. Sometimes it's nice to be away from your little brothers and sisters. Sometimes it's nice for the whole family to get away from the parents. So that's why we offer a variety of things. Not that anyone would want to leave their parents, right? Little brothers and sisters are fine to get rid of, but you know, parents, we want to stay with. So we offer retreat weekends. We have one for middle school called New Beginnings. We have one for high school students called Happening. Happening is a program that has been around for about 40, 50 years. It is throughout the world, in the 111 dioceses in the Episcopal Church. I would say 75% of them have an active Happening mission or an experience. This weekend is an opportunity for high school students to come and enjoy a safe place, to be able to explore their relationship with themselves, with God, and with each other. And it's not as boring as that sounds. It really isn't. We do that in fun, enjoyable ways of getting to know you. We play games. We have young people that talk about their stories of faith, of search, of difficulties, of triumph. We have experiences. We actually experience a mini Holy Week in the span of about 6 hours. We go from a Monday, Thursday, sort of that quiet and that penitential, through a Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and we end with a great party on an Easter Sunday, as I said, all in about 6 hours. Happening is one of our programs that is led by young people for young people. So the leader of it, the rector of the weekend, is a young person. We have a former rector in the congregation right now. Didn't know I was going to call on you, did you, Margaret? But Margaret Williams is a former rector of our Happening program. One of my favorites, but I have 21 favorites because we're on weekend 21. This weekend, this program is designed to allow, as I said, our young people a safe space to explore. We live in a time that is full of lots of, well, hard times. Whether it is financial or where we're going to do with our lives, young people are fighting not only with, I need to get homework done, but to get to this college, I have to do this sport and do this, and there is a lot. And what seems to have been forgotten or left to the wayside is our spiritual side. And so we want to offer opportunities for our young people to incorporate their spirituality in what they do, in what they see, in what they experience. We also offer programs of mission work, whether that is local, in the local Detroit area, or national. We have gone to the Appalachian Mountains, we've gone to Virginia. This last summer we went to Alabama and to Georgia. And what we do in these mission experiences is be able to take young people out of a comfort zone that we sometimes, well, I think we all live in, and we don't see those that may be in need or those areas that we can help because, well, it's always been that way. I don't know exactly where. But when we have a mission experience that removes us from our comfort and moves us into a place where we are having to be curious, where we're having to sort of stretch ourselves, in safe ways, of course, but to stretch ourselves, something miraculous happens. This past summer, we went, as I said, to Alabama and to Georgia. Now, I am 52 years old. I'm very proud of that. And I grew up in a time, in an era, where civil rights was not in our history books. We had just finished going through the civil rights when I was in, or just not really finished, but a majority of it. I also grew up in Washington State. And we didn't get much history about things that happened, oh, really to the east of Montana. So it really wasn't a big thing. Now, I can look to say, and I know that our young people and later generations have, you learn about civil rights. You learn about the marches. You learn about these things. We took a group of 14 young people to Birmingham, Selma, and Montgomery, and spent 3 days visiting places that had significant importance on civil rights. We went to the park in Birmingham, where the police and the police chief let loose fire hoses and dogs on children who were protesting unfair treatment because of the color of their skin. I got to walk with a 14-year-old boy in that park, talking with him, asking him what it was like to be a black man in today's Detroit. That Sunday, we worshiped at the 16th Street Baptist Church, the site of the church that was blown up and four girls were murdered, all because of the color of their skin and the feeling of segregation needed to stay. We walked across the Pettus Bridge. As we head our way to Selma, we stopped in Haynesville, where there's a marker for a martyr by the name of Jonathan Myrick Daniels, who was an Episcopal seminary student who left seminary and was killed protecting the life of a black child. These people and these impacts of this era that we are somewhat removed from, to be able to walk in those steps with young people and people older than myself be able to experience this, it was profound for me, and I know that it was profound for the others that joined us. We went on to Georgia and stayed 5 days at Koinonia Farms, an intentional, multiracial farming community started in 1940 in rural Georgia. At one point, when they tried to go to the Baptist church, they were met with a letter that said, the deacons and the board have voted to not permit you to come into our church because you have Indian and black people living in your farm. That farm also is the birthplace of Habitat for Humanity, and got to see the roots of that wonderful organization. Now, in my 52 years, and I've lived all over, I've never experienced that. And I know, as I said, how it changed me. Our young people, we give them the opportunities to go with pilgrims, to go with people that are concerned for them, that love them, that want to give them that safe space, but also stretch them a little bit. If you want to stretch a group of boys, make them pick pecans for 2 hours. You'll hear a lot of whining. But then they're really excited because they also picked blueberries and they couldn't wait to go to the kitchen to make the blueberry jam that was going to be sold. Transformation. And you don't expect it. Who would have thought that pecans and blueberries would have transformed young people? Well, I guess God did. We also have a new program that we just did last weekend. And it's called Speak Up, Show Love. With the help of young people designing this, we've figured out that there is very few opportunities for our young people to come up with concrete ways in which to counteract the hate that they see in this world. Hate because of who they love, the color of their skin still, what they believe. And so to be able to give them opportunities to be able to talk about that, to share about that, come up with strategies in which they can speak up and show love. It was an amazing experience. We're going to do it again in the spring, and I invite everyone to come and participate. Not only youth and young adults, but adults as well. Because one of the things that we do in our youth programs is we realize the importance of our young people, not only as students, but as teachers for us. There are other programs we do, and I could talk about those later, but I want to get to my last question that I get asked a lot. Why should my kids attend? Why should I care about sending my students? Friends, as I've said before, we live in a world that there are a lot of different distractions for our lives. And in our young people's lives, that biggest distraction, and maybe not doesn't feel like a distraction, but is actually just living. And so we have to let things go, or they often have to let things go. I grew up in a time in which I was required to go to church. I'm very thankful for my parents for doing that. It instilled in me a desire to come to a community that loved me. But as we find out more and more, less and less kids and their parents are coming to church. And there is something that is unique, that is special, that is absolutely necessary in this community, that I don't think they can get in this way anywhere else. Yes, there are groups that will like you and love you and accept you, but we have to. We don't have to because it's, or we'll be bad or punished. We have to because we know that Jesus loved us first. And if we are loved, then we want to show that love. And we want to share that love. And we want to give our young people opportunities. And that's what we're doing. You have a youth ministry, you have a youth group. You already know the importance of your young people. You are a part of something larger. And we need to let our young people know that as well. When I was a young person, one of the things I found out when I went to my first youth conference was there are more than 5 Episcopal youth in the world. I mean, it was hard enough trying to explain to people what an Episcopalian is. I learned in confirmation that if you mix up the letters in Episcopal, you get Pepsi Cola. That's what I remember, and that's what I've used. I'm glad that's not all that I remember. Because what I do remember is I remember the relationships. I remember the adults, in addition to my parents, who were concerned and cared for me. I remember adults and other young people sharing with me their concerns, their questions. I got a place that I could ask a question and say, you know what? I'm really mad at God, or I'm not sure I believe. Other places, I would have been afraid to ask that question or to even voice that concern. But in my church, I wasn't, because it was a safe space. It was a place that I could stretch. And when I went to larger events, I found other people that had that same question, or people that had that question and had discovered an answer, and I wanted to know what that answer was. I want you to support your young people in the ways that you do now. But I want you to know that there are other ways that you can support. And the diocese is one place that is you. You are us. There's not an us-them thing. It's all we. And I want to sleep in more churches. And I want to experience more of your young people and to be able to have those experiences and to have those amazing, transformative, life-altering experiences. So do you have any questions about what we do with diocesan youth ministry? This is that part that I need at least one of you to have a question. Please. Please, yes, thank you.
Do you provide resources for the teachers in the schools and the leaders of the youth group?
Yes, we do. So part of what my job is to provide programs. I'm also a resource and a liaison for our congregations. So I love coming out to congregations and helping them with their resources. Often I have a resource library, and I will tell teachers and stuff, if you can't afford your curriculum, let me buy it for you. You use it for a year. You give it back. You give me a report. Then I can share it with someone else. So absolutely. And that's part of the resources that you get. This is a paying, I hate talking about it. I know we're talking stewardship. But I'm playing pledges. You know, it's not on this is my attendance and to be able to pay for attendance. It's to offer resources, which offers to the congregations, which offers to the diocese, which then comes back in the form of myself and other physically intangible resources. We also offer resources because we cover all of this part of Michigan, and there are some places that have that it's a struggle to find food, money to eat. And so all our events, while there is a cost, we offer scholarships for anyone and everyone. We never want money to be a factor in deciding why they can't go. As I said, this trip this summer that we took, we drove down, the group flew back. It was a very expensive trip. But we only asked the participants to pay $600. And those that couldn't, we still subsidized. Yes?
You use the term safe place.
Mm-hmm.
How do you characterize that safe place?
So for me.
I hear that statement a lot in secular terms.
Yes.
Not always considered those places safe.
Correct. So safe place, for me, there are 3 aspects that make a place safe. First of all, my physical well-being. Can I, you know, am I going to be have boundaries enough to know that I can't just run with a knife and do whatever I want, and that physically everyone's going to be safe, that we will establish rules, we will establish boundaries for the physical conduct between people. So I know that if I send my kid, they're not going to, you know, take up boxing or learn that. That's safe in physical. It is safe emotionally. in that we don't put up with bullying. We don't put up with the name calling. If there is a difficulty, we work it out right then. We don't push things under the rug. And we've had times in which we've had to separate people, have a discussion, but that we are proactive in helping that person's emotional well-being. And then because we're in a church and it's very important and it's a part of who we are, spiritually safe. And what safety means is a place that you can explore, that you can ask questions, that you will not be ridiculed, you will not be judged. If I were to say, I'm not sure I believe in God, in some places to say that in a church would be very difficult. We encourage questions like that. We encourage people to explore. We also, in that spiritual, physical, and emotional well-being, is we don't give pat answers. We're not afraid to say, you know what, I don't know, but I'll walk with you. And we will find that to be a safe space. So it's a safe space in those three ways, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, to allow exploration, to allow growth, but not danger. Now, I have taken kids zip lining, but it has always been safe. And if I go, anyone can go. Yes?
Are we making any advancements against the good old boy system?
Are we making any
advances
against the good old boy system?
I had a daughter that moved away from Alabama 2 years ago just because of that reason. Could not play a white old boy.
It is. Thank you for that question. Yes, and it seems a little disingenuous to have this cis white guy say, yes, we're going against the good old boy system. I think that people that know me, and I look to Margaret, hopefully she would agree with me, I am at heart a feminist. I am at heart a person who believes that everyone needs to have equal access to everything. And I do not put up with segregation, whether because of gender, sexual activities, not sexual activities, sexual orientation, gender orientation, size, any of that. I am wanting to make sure that everyone is welcome. And so we provide opportunities for everyone. As the white guy in the room, oftentimes, I find my job is to back away and uplift other people. And so I believe we are. I believe that we are meeting it head on and trying to make strides. Hopefully Margaret and Eric might agree with my experience. Yes, ma'am.
What are you doing to keep people in the church? Like, I'm thinking about on a personal level, our kids didn't have any. They were heavily involved in Gordonwood. They would go for the summers. I've got one son who's semi-active in church and two daughters who care less, mm-hmm. And they're in their 30s.
I give that sigh not as, oh my gosh, why that question, or anything like that. It is a tough question. And I can look at my own family. My father was a deacon, a vocational deacon. My mother was the parish secretary, and then the bishop's secretary. I have been a youth minister now for 27 years. I have two younger brothers. We were raised the same way. We were raised in the same family. We experienced the roughly the same. They never connected with the church. I will tell you what I believe is the best way and the way that I strive to see it happen. Youth ministry, ministry at its heart is relational, and it is about the relationships. And so the programs that we do and the things you do at church, it's not about who can build this and who can do this. It's about the time spent together. When I was a kid and I missed church, I had people that didn't say to me, oh my gosh, you're here. And see, the walls didn't fall down. I had people that said, Eric, we missed you. We're so glad you're here. What were you up to? And these were people besides my parents. They had to do that. I mean, my parents have to love me. It's in the contract I signed. Well, maybe. Or I've actually threatened cold bedpans if they don't love me. But other people, to have that experience of having other people, and not just parent-age people, but grandparent-age people, and peer-age people having relationships. Oftentimes I hear the church being called a family. And with every family, there are connections, there are non-connections, but what keeps a family together and keep them interested, I believe, relationships, and then getting people involved. When I was a young person, and this is sort of strange, I was the youngest elected delegate to convention at the age of 16 when I was a teenager in my diocese. That really got me involved. I had adults that fought me in that election because they didn't think I knew enough, and others that stood up and said, "We trust in that." Do you know how much that affects a person to have that number of people say, "We trust you to represent us"? At the age of 16, I was welcomed, I was in relationships, and I got involved. I was invited. And that's what I believe we do. Diocesan ministry is not there to take the place of what happens at a congregation. It is to help support. And so we offer things such as peer ministry training, how to be leaders. We teach our young people how to be some of the best leaders in the world, servant leaders, ones that are not there for their own grandiose ideas and their own ego, but there to serve others. We find young people to discover what their passion is. At a recent happening weekend, one young lady who was at a church that had a preschool, there was a fish that was just, she felt dying. And her mission was to get that fish back to health. So I supported that. We supported that. We helped her buy the materials, come back in, and teach the children and the teachers in that preschool how to take care of a fish. So it's using someone's passion that came and explored in a safe space and got to say, "Oh, I'm passionate about this. Will you help?" And have people say, "Yes, we'll help you." Has continued this connection, continued this relationship, continued this involvement.